Hello and welcome to a new series of podcasts which are focused on work health and safety across the Australian seafood industry. Thanks for joining me. My name is Eric Perez and I welcome you to this first series of podcasts. This particular podcast is a grouping of four discussions that I held with John Harrison, who is chair of the initiative, Michael Drake from the Australian Maritime Safety Authority, Heidi Mummy from MyFish Consulting, and Michael O'Brien from Australia Bay Seafoods. Again, I hope you enjoy the content. If you would like to contact any of the speakers, their contact information is made available in the description of each podcast. You can also find the strategic plan of the initiative again in the description of the podcast. And finally, I'd like to thank you all again for joining me for what will be an interesting series of podcasts over the next weeks and months. Thanks again, and I'll catch you all in the next podcast.
G'day and welcome. This is Eric Perez, and I'd like to welcome you to the Seafood Industry Safety Initiative podcast. Thank you for joining me today. Today we're having a discussion with John Harrison, the Executive Chair of the Seafood Industry Safety Initiative. But before we get into a discussion with John, I'd just like to go through a couple of the key issues that we need to understand around why the initiative is doing what it's going to do over the next little while, including that there's been an absence of an integrated, almost collaborative effort into safety and health, that there have been significant resources, financial and physical, allocated to workplace health and safety over the last 15 odd years. The majority of resources have been what they call standalone, and there's been limited extension for the wider industry to adopt those resources. And there's been a limited capacity and resources within industry to continue the development of the work that's required in terms of health and safety at sea. And so one of the final points here that kind of grabs those and is critical, I guess, is there's been some level of reluctance or a culture in industry, a she'll be right mate type culture, which is not conducive to health and safety in this industry of ours. So can I welcome John to the podcast? How are you, John?
Very well, Eric, and thank you for having me.
No worries, mate. Appreciate your time. So can I ask you to give me a bit of a background to the initiative and what your role will be in that. But before you do, just for the sake of those listening, John Harrison, who's speaking with me now, has had extensive experience in both the commercial and recreational fishing industries over a 26-year period. So we're lucky to have him on as executive chair. So John, to start off with, I'd just like you to share, if you can, with the podcast listeners, what your role is in the overall initiative and where are we going with this initiative, mate?
Oh, thanks, Eric. I was asked by the FRDC to chair a new program which has been called the Seafood Industry Safety Initiative, as you pointed out, and it's basically got three objectives, and we need to improve the safety element of the commercial fishing industry in particular, because there has been far too many loss of lives and some serious injuries in the workplace, and we need to move and make that a priority for industry to address. So that's the guts of why we're doing this. There's certain objectives of which I know that we'll cover later on in this cast. But my role is to facilitate, encourage input, take guidance and opportunities and learn from our international colleagues, such as the Scottish Fishermen's Federation, our mates across the ditch in New Zealand. And, you know, let's not reinvent the wheel. Let's see what they're doing and let's get a process in place whereby our fishermen will come home.
Thanks, John. And so my understanding is that there's already been some work started with the development of a strategic plan. Now, how was that plan put together in one or two sentences, if you can? And who was involved in getting that plan together, mate?
We've got a steering committee that involves industry participants. The Australian Maritime Safety Authority have appointed one of their senior national operations manager to the committee, Patrick Hone from the managing director of FRDC. And we put together a draft strategic plan based upon three key objectives. And the first is probably the most telling one, and that's moving towards zero fatalities. And we then pushed that plan out and asked the Australian Maritime Safety Authority and the recently formed Seafood Industry Australia to join us or partner us in that strategic plan. We sent them copies of those, and both of them jumped on board. So we will also now be pushing out to our seafood peak bodies in each of the states a questionnaire that we've developed, asking them for input to further, I guess, fine-tune the strategic plan. It's a living document. The other two key objectives are continuous cultural improvement in the use of workplace safety management systems and an increase in the uptake of industry workplace safety and training programs and education tools. So they're pretty basic objectives, but fundamental that we get a program in place that reinforces the need for this safety to be at the front of mind.
That's pretty clear, John. So just a couple of things around seafood safety research development and extension projects. How are they going to be identified, or have they all been identified now? And I'm assuming they're going to be aligned with this strategic plan. Have I got that right?
You have got it right. Yes, we'll be looking at what the FRDC can do with their mantra, which is an RD&E provider. Won't be and to see what tools need to be developed, to see what education platforms need to be used. And we've one that springs to mind that's about almost finished its second year is a SeaSafe project, which is an electronic learning management system, which is being picked up by the fleets around, that can provide online training for different modules for people to be able to complete, tick the boxes, make sure that they've got an introduction before going on board a vessel. So what platforms are needed, how are they going to be developed, how we can learn from international experience and provide opportunities that are not cumbersome, expensive, and will do the job in making sure that people, again, you know, put safety in front of mind.
Sure. One of the questions that comes to mind, and you're in a good position to answer this, and this will be on the minds of those commercial fishermen that are working out there now, that have seen projects in from various organisations, not just the FRDC I'm talking here. When one of the gripes that comes up that I've heard in my role with the Queensland seafood industry is around extension. So is this project going to be focused on that extension and trying to get that almost a continuous improvement culture across the industry when it comes to safety issues?
The short answer is yes, that's our objective. There's nothing worse than having a project completed and nice final report put on a shelf and there it gathers dust. Extension, I think the R and the D and the E are important. The E, standing for extension, has been something that the FRDC has been trying to improve for, you know, decades. We still need to work on it. What we don't need is to invest time, effort and money into developing tools without having those out to available to the coalface, and I'll call it the coalface for the want of the right word, but to the fishermen who are on the decks in the wheelhouses. They're the ones that need to have access to this stuff. So extension is vital.
Yeah, I can understand that, especially if you want to make this thing work in the longer term. So just as an extension of that, the previous answer that you gave, I want to talk a little bit about collaboration and co-investment. Now, I'm assuming, because you mentioned before that we'll be looking across the ditch to our cousins in New Zealand and internationally to Ireland, I think you mentioned before, are we going to be looking at doing national and transnational type projects? And before you answer that, is that going to involve specifically those that are fishing to get that adoption more readily happening, so get more working fishermen into those projects?
Well, the collaboration we are striving to achieve will be with the likes of New Zealand and with Scotland, but the Irish have also got some nice programs in place too, as have most countries. So we're wanting to learn from that, from what they've done, adopt what they've done, and the Scottish guys told me we can plagiarise till our heart's content. And we go back to the fact that if we don't include the fishermen in this process, so they are the ones that benefit from the work that's being done, then we're actually wasting our time. You and I aren't the ones that are out working on, you know, on vessels, you know, on the high seas, or indeed in estuaries and other places where there is also a risk of accidents and lives have been lost, you know, in calm waters. So we need to make sure that things are picked up, and the processes and the way that people run their businesses, or actually operate their businesses, operate the fishing activities. And I'm talking about simple things, Eric, like having a kill switch lanyard on your wrist if you're in a 5 or 6 meter pump, you know, catching mullet or chasing crabs or whatever it might be. You know, you need to have those lanyards attached to the kill switch. Now, that culture is not there yet, in my opinion. So we need to make sure that's reinforced and driven home the importance of doing that.
John, look, I appreciate your time. And for those listening, there are going to be a lot more in this series of podcasts around the seafood industry safety initiative. So look, John, thank you for your time. And I'm hoping that as the executive chair, that you'll be able to record more conversations with me into the future regarding how the project is going, how we're tracking, and any issues that might come up. Because like you said, this requires everyone to get involved at one level or another. So yeah, look, I appreciate your time, John. Thanks for joining me today.
Pleasure, Eric. And one of the objectives that I'll be seeking in this role is to get out and speak to the fishermen and talk to them about what tools they need to improve their safety.
You've been listening to the Seafood Industry Safety Initiative podcast. Thanks again for your time, and we'll catch you all on the next podcast. My next podcast guest is Michael Drake from the Australian Maritime Safety Authority. Hope you enjoy the discussion.
Welcome, everyone, to the Seafood Industry Safety Initiative podcast. You're with Eric Perez, your podcast host. Thank you for joining us again. And today we're speaking to a representative of the Australian Maritime Safety Authority, better known to industry as AMSA. Today's guest is also a delegate on the steering committee for the initiative. So can I welcome to the podcast Mr. Michael Drake. How are you, Michael?
I'm well, thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Some of the activities that the initiative will take under its strategic plan involve collaborations with regulators. So how do you see this developing or sort of rolling out over the next 12 to 24 months from your perspective as AMSA?
Oh, well, Eric, we at AMSA acknowledge that there's a number of regulators that have an impact over the fishing industry, be them fisheries regulators, be them AMSA ourselves, or work health and safety regulators. So we're developing relationships both at officer levels and higher with each of those regulators to actually start some in-depth discussions about how each of our regulatory frameworks apply to the industry to make sure that we're all working towards the same goal. And we're all doing things that are actually complementary. So, for example, the work health and safety regulators, we at AMSA have established a forum with most of the all the state-based regulators, and just to get an understanding of how each of us is currently working, what materials that we can actually deliver to the industry, and also to make sure that the work we're doing is actually complementary and we're all pulling in the same direction. And what I mean by that is one of the key features is making sure we do things and produce educational material, for example, that is actually easy to be understood by the end users, being the fishing industry, to make sure we're all talking the same language and to make sure that the regulations and the tools that we use are actually appropriate for the circumstances and appropriate for the industry.
Excellent. That's great. Appreciate the detail there. So this, I guess, is some nuance to that first question. So if I can direct you a little bit to the following and see what your views are. So I guess under the plan, there's this need to create partnerships amongst the different groups. So my viewing of that plan is that there'll be partnerships amongst regulators, RTOs, and to really look at workplace health and safety learning needs from our industry perspective. Is that how you see that integrating into this over the next 2 years or so?
Oh, absolutely. So to be frank, we're starting with the regulators, and we're also making sure we're dealing with the industry bodies through we're setting up at the moment a more comprehensive regional communication strategy, and we'll start having state-based consultation committees and things like that, so we get a state-based view on things. And we'd absolutely hope that those registered training organisations will be part of that framework, so we can start a lot of these discussions and to make sure that it's an end-to-end process, Eric. So, of course, what the regulations might require, or how we see industry as working, is it needs to start from the grassroots, I guess. And a lot of that comes with the people who are entering the industry or the people who are doing further training. So it's important that we work with both the other WH regulators and the training organisations to get that grassroots, I guess, right from the start. This is how we see the WHS and safety permeating right from the very, not the bottom of the industry, but the newcomers to the industry and the training, and get it right throughout out across the fleets there. So a lot of that comes down to clear and consistent messaging, and to make sure that that messaging is delivered in the right manner. And some of that will be through the RTOs, some of that messaging will be through those regional committees that I talk to, and some of it will be about through all of our regulators staff, so be it AMSA marine inspectors or the WHS WorkSafe inspectors and things like that that go out and see the fishing industry on the ground and on the wharves out there.
That's great, Michael. Thank you for that. So I guess the next element of the first question is this idea about having or developing shared resources for industry and regulators to distribute. I guess that's going to be a component as well.
Oh, 100%. And that's one thing that AMPSA's starting with. So we, as I mentioned earlier, we had a forum with all of the state-based work health and safety regulators in October last year. And one of the simple things the message we're trying to get out there to the industry is that, yes, AMPSA's got a whole bunch of safety requirements, but at the same time, the WHS laws that apply to every business around Australia, or every workplace, also apply to the fishing industry. So one of our first bits of communication is trying to distill that message out to the industry in a very simple manner that, yes, AMPSA's got a rules through, and we implement a lot of that through the safety management system requirements, but there's also a bunch of rules and regulations that the work health and safety organisations implement for every workplace in Australia, which also include the fishing industry, that are also applicable to that. And when you look at the national law for domestic vessels when it was developed, it was always developed with an idea that certain elements will come from other regulators. And those elements, the ones that come to mind straight away, are things like gas cookers and things like that. They're all regulated by the state-based entities. So we complement each other. And one of the important messages is that both sets of rules apply and working the same goal, but to try and develop those communications in a really simple way that can be understood by industry. And that's our goal. That's AMPSA's goal, absolutely, that anything that we develop is developed with the end user in mind. So the actual people who will be out there implementing it on the ground. So we will work with the RTOs, who really have a relationship with most seafarers out there, and so do AMPSA, to make sure that the communications we develop are in a way that is easily understood and basically talking the talk of industry. And that's a really important part for us.
And that helps to segue, I guess, to the last element here about sharing industry and regulator workplace health and safety knowledge with a view to, I guess, in the long term, help to aid in the adoption and reduction of duplication. So this one particularly is going to be important for industry that we're being heard in this process, because there is some knowledge out there on the ground from those that work in this industry. So that, I'm guessing, that's going to form that third underpinning.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the broader government goals, and absolutely it's AMPSA's goal, is to remove duplication. And there are some parts where the other regulators are more skilled and probably have better knowledge of things and more appropriate that they deal with certain aspects. So we also want to share that knowledge too. And AMPSA as a regulator is absolutely willing to learn from both industry and from other regulators of different ways to do it. So our main regulatory tool for this space is a safety management system. And I guess one of the key parts of that is that it's not descriptive in the sense of how people deal with safety risk. The idea is that people actually articulate how they, on their very specific operation, do it. So AMPSA's got an open mind to a certain degree on how things can be done. And that be that come from industry or another regulator, if there's a better way to do it and there's a safe way to do it, well, that's something that the regulatory frameworks actually are open to be honest. So we share industry knowledge, and as I said, we're willing to learn. Some of those methods will be through those safety committees, but also through our discussions we have at an officer level down on the wharves with different regulators and industry to actually learn, and then we try to distill that amongst our organisation at least, and also through regular communications with the other regulators. So hopefully, yeah, once we see something, we can then make sure that the rest of the agency sees that and we can have that consistent national approach.
So final question, Michael, what do you see as practical targets for seafood industry to aspire to and why?
Unashamedly, I think our goal is to move for fatalities and serious industries to trend towards zero. I think that is attainable. They're basically that fundamental right of everyone who goes to work in the morning should be going home at the end of their shift or the end of their voyage and things like that. And I think that is absolutely an achievable goal. I know there's some way to go in the fishing industry and a lot of industries out there, but if we can't aim for things like that, I think we're in the wrong game. So I think there's been significant improvements in a number of industries out there, and we can absolutely get towards zero fatalities and serious injuries. And we will do that together. It won't be AMSA getting it. It'll be the industry, the RTOs, AMSA, the different regulators all pulling in the same direction to achieve those goals. And I do believe it is absolutely attainable.
That was an overview from Michael Drake with regards to the Seafood Industry Safety Initiative. Thank you all for listening, and I'll catch you all on the next podcast. That was Michael Drake from AMSA. Thanks again for joining us on the podcast. Our next podcast guest is Heidi Mummy from MyFish Consulting. Again, hope you enjoy the content of the podcast.
Good morning. This is Eric Perez on behalf of the Seafood Industry Safety Initiative, welcoming you to our ongoing series of podcasts around safety issues in the Australian seafood industry. And today, I'd like to welcome my guest by initially providing some background. Today's guest has multiple roles in the seafood industry in Australia. She is currently the Vice President of the Women in Seafood Australasia. Her current role is as owner of MyFish Consulting, and she has also had a role in workplace health and safety in as Paley Pearls. She is also on the committee of the Seafood Industry Safety Initiative. Can I welcome Heidi Mummy to the podcast? Thank you for joining me today. So let's get into some questions around the initiative. And the first question I've got for you is, why did you agree to be part of the initiative, mate?
I guess for me, it's all about an opportunity to make a difference for people in the industry, whether that be through increased awareness or increased understanding. I guess I see it as another avenue or a platform for people in the seafood industry to have access to information, and also for us to possibly be a central point of safety information for the industry.
In terms of just unpacking that first question a little bit, is there a belief amongst the committee that you're part of that there are gaps or there's some information deficits that industry needs to be more aware of?
I think there's always gaps. I think for us, it's really about identifying what they are, and I think they're going to be different for different parts of the industry and different sectors within the industry. You've obviously got many different groups that are active and take part in the industry. So I think for us, it really is about identifying and prioritising the gaps that are there and potentially how we can look at plugging those gaps.
So let's move on to the next question, Heidi, if we can. How do you think the initiative is going to influence safety awareness across industry?
I'm hoping that the initiative will achieve a positive change in workplace safety culture. I'm hoping that we're going to be able to enable individuals, and particularly those smaller operators, to feel more comfortable in this space, because it's still one of those areas where I guess people are a little bit not concerned, but I guess they find it hard to find their space, particularly if they are a smaller operator, finding the time, finding the resources. I think it's also an opportunity to provide the industry with an alternative avenue for resources and information, so that we're not a regulator, it possibly gives them that different space to be able to come to and feel like they're able to come to us as a source of information.
That segues quite nicely into the next question, and I guess it has multiple elements to it. So how do you see the initiative supporting people in executive officer roles, chief executive officer roles, and just leadership roles in managing safety on behalf of industry? So I guess this question revolves around that macro level capacity of industry bodies to get involved. And this is particularly of interest to me because the other hat that I wear is as a advocate in Queensland on industry issues. So I'm interested to hear your response to this one.
Definitely. I think this is going to be one of the critical things moving forward for the not only for us as the safety initiative, but also for the industry in general. I think it's really important that we get a really solid relationship happening between peak bodies and industry associations and executive officers. That flow of information between groups is really important. And I think really getting down to the grassroots of industry to get their ideas and input. Obviously, we as a committee can't get out to everyone that is within industry, and that's where those executive officers and peak bodies are really going to be important for us as a group to be able to be a source of that feedback. I guess for us also then going the opposite way, how we can support those executive officers and peak bodies is that we are potentially a different resource that they can go to. And also, as I said earlier, because we aren't a regulatory body as such, I'm hoping it will create an environment that will enable those open discussions to happen and take place without people feeling like they, you know, maybe can't be as open as they would like to be.
Sure. And this was a question that I put to Michael O'Brien in a previous podcast around this seeming to be a very wide-scale culture change process. Is this going to be a step-by-step process so industry gets information in small chunks and starts to build capacity, or is it going to be a info dump and engagement that is that happens very quickly? Because I guess any kind of change process, the slower you go and the more inclusive you can be, the more it'll stick post the intervention, if you want to call it that. Is that part of the strategy? I'm just trying to get some clarification in my own mind here, and this would be a question I think the average commercial fisher person would be asking.
I think with this type of thing, it has to be a staged approach. I don't think you can build relationships and gain trust within the industry if you just sort of come in, dump a whole heap of information or whatever it may be on a group of people. It needs to be, you know, it needs to be very targeted information, and you need to have the opportunity to develop and build those relationships with people so that there is that level of trust and that you can start having those conversations with people openly. So I think there will possibly be a bit of, obviously there is going to be some information, not necessarily dump being the right word, but there will definitely be an area where there will be a source of information that people are able to go to. But then there will be also mechanisms in place that we're hoping to build so that there is that ability and that chance for people to have more of that open discussion and having it slowly fed through to them. So there's that better understanding and that they have the opportunity to have that input into it as well, which is really important.
And thank you for that response. I guess I couldn't find a better word than info dump, because that's typically what we see from regulators, that we get a whole lot of information that's written in government ease, and it's very difficult to unpack what it is that certain agencies want us to do. And commercial fishers around the country will know what I'm talking about. So I think it'll be well received if the information is targeted and there's less fluff and more practical information that comes through, if you get my meaning. And I'm not for one second assuming that the initiative is going to do that. It's just that the expectations will be high, I guess, that we get, as an industry, we get something like this right, because government has tried its best to work in this space. And I think the connection between all of the stakeholders is going to be important at the start to develop the material, but it's then how do you get it to industry? And I think you've addressed that quite well. So Heidi, just as a final question, what do you think you'll gain from being part of the initiative to be able to help industry? And I guess that's a broader than just committee members question, but what's in it for industry?
I think this is a huge question and potentially so much. I think by being part of this initiative, I see a real opportunity to start making those small steps and making those important cultural changes that are needed across industry as a whole. I think just being proactive in this space is really important, because, you know, everyone wants to come home from, you know, whether it's a day, a week, a month at work, you know, in the same way that they went to work. So for me, it really is about making sure that we have that relationship with all parts of industry and that we can get those relationships happening. And yes, it's, you know, going to be a progressive process and not necessarily going to happen overnight, but I think that's one of the beauties of it as well, is being able to build those relationships and have those discussions with people and get the right input from all stakeholders within the industry.
So thank you for that response, and that brings us to the end of the podcast. Can I thank everyone for listening, and we'll catch you all on the next podcast. Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks, Eric.
That was Heidi Mummy from My Fish Consulting speaking with me on the Seafood Industry Safety Initiative. The final podcast guest today is Michael O'Brien from Australia Bay Seafoods. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Over to Michael.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Seafood Industry Safety Initiative podcast. I'd like to welcome our podcast guest today. By way of introductions, he has worked on prawn trawlers and in the prawn trawl industry since 1972 out of Darwin. He started at the age of 14 as a cadet skipper, and the following year with Markwell Fisheries, skippering his first vessel at the tender age of 17. He's also worked for 14 years in Northern Australia. He went and took an onshore fleet manager position and prawn spotting position in 87, and had experience setting up and bringing to market pearls on the East Coast. He was also spent a good 10 years working for the Northern Prawn Fishery Research Advisory Group. And in addition to all of that, he's also retrofitted vessels in PNG for A. Raptus and Sons, and has worked on a consultancy in Madagascar regarding wild caught prawn, and is currently the general manager of Australia Bay Seafoods in Darwin for the last 3 years, and managing in that role trawlers that are working year-round in that part of Australia. So can I welcome to the podcast Michael O'Brien. How are you, Michael?
Yeah, good, thanks, Eric.
Mate, look, appreciate your time today. The Seafood Industry Safety Initiative, so it's a pretty important initiative, and I'd just like to get the podcast started with the first question. So why did you agree to be part of the initiative, mate?
Because it's something that I've had close to my heart for the probably the last 10 or 15 years as I've started to mature into the position with the seafood industry. And I've seen a lot over the years happen, and I've seen a lot of money spent in trying to achieve these sorts of things. But I really felt that it needed to have a real grassroots base to it, which is what I do. I'm involved at it very much at that level also. So that was my driver to make sure that we can produce something that can be used from a one fisherman all the way up to corporates.
Excellent. Okay, look, thank you for sharing that, Michael. So how do you think the initiative will influence safety awareness across industry?
Well, I, as I said just a moment ago, I think it all comes down to if you don't get the people at the coalface or at the fishing edge that have to do it and learn to understand it, it's not going to happen. So that's why I think it's such an important committee to be on, and it's such an important issue, is that we really do have to start right down the bottom and work our way up. And if we don't get it to the average deckhand or one boat owner, or you know, just working out of a dinghy, we're never going to get it up and running. I'm a real believer that it has to be, the ownership has to be by the industry, by the crew, the skippers. If you can't get them on side to take ownership, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, that's been discussed in other podcasts around this. So thank you for sharing that. So one question that comes to mind here, and we talk about state-based representative bodies. How do you see the initiative supporting executive officers, CEOs, and industry leaders that are managing issues around safety in this industry space? So how do you see the link from the initiative to that group of industry advocates, industry representatives?
That's probably the main reason why I joined the committee, was that I think that we've struggled a little bit to get that link, and I think that in the past 5 years we've seen a group of people get really heavily involved and take on a lot of these projects. And you know, there's people like Steve Ayres and that SeaSafe system. It really is getting out to the fishermen. So I see that by putting and creating these concepts into the marketplace and into the workplace, that's how we achieve it. And that's where I see part of my job in the committee is to join those two together. I feel that I'm in a position where I can do that. I work with the committee, and then I, on a day-to-day basis, still deal with the fishermen in the duck pond in Darwin. We have three vessels of our own. So a lot of the concepts that I see that are being built by all the executives and the CEOs and all those sorts of people that are putting the time into to come up with the concepts is putting it into a workable style so that fishermen understand it and want to take ownership.
Yeah, again, thanks for that, Michael. One, just a question then around unpacking this a little bit. Do you see that this, the initiative is in some ways a culture change process?
You've just got it in one there. It's the culture that we have to change. I've been fishing all my life, and the one thing that I have had to do in my life as a fisherman is change with times, and that means changing the culture that I grew up with as a fisherman at a really young age is nothing like what we have now. Now I'm involved in an industry that has taken ownership of becoming a profitable, sustainable business, and that's where the culture. You know, we've changed our culture in our business format. We've changed our culture in our sustainable within our industries, whether it's prawns, fish. Australia's change for sustainability has been nothing short of magnificent, I believe, in the last 10 years. So, yeah, it's a big culture thing. Sadly, we've had to have some bad experiences within the industry to get us going in the right direction for this culture change. But I really do believe that the industry as a whole, from deckhand all the way through to CEOs, has noted this culture change, and it's happening, and it's our job to keep it going and to develop things that people can use simply, electronically, and putting things on paper is something that fishermen aren't known for, don't really enjoy, but the electronic systems that we're building now that work off iPads, all this is allowing us to change that culture of it's too difficult to start to do this when you've got to do it on paper and use a pen. So, yeah, it's a real culture change, but I think there's a groundswell running now that's really pushing forward, and that culture change is definitely happening.
Again, thanks for sharing that. And so to round off the questions here, Michael, and you've hinted at some of the potential benefits, but what do you think industry and individual operators, I guess at all those levels that you talked about, will gain if they take part in the initiative? So what's, I guess I'm asking, what's the payoff for industry?
Oh, the payoff, and stealing someone's quote from the last year or two, is that everybody gets to come home safe, and that's the big concern, is that even from my position of a manager, is that I want all our fishermen to come home, and I want them to do it safely. So that the payoff is that we try and establish that target of zero fatalities within the industry. Big ask, but you have to aim high to achieve high.
Look, Michael, thank you for joining me on the podcast. For those listening, I've been speaking with Michael O'Brien as part of the Seafood Industry Safety Initiative. My name is Eric Perez, and I thank you for joining us today. Thanks, Michael.
No worries at all, Eric.
And thanks, everyone, and we'll catch you all on the next podcast.